Sunday service. We welcome our dear brothers and sisters who are unable to join us. They are joining us on Zoom. We are once again together in spirit. Now we'll share a message, and then after that we'll sing a closing song, and then we'll have a time of sharing and thanksgiving. The people on Zoom, feel free to stay for that or leave the camera on for our time of sharing together as a family. Let us prepare our hearts to hear God's word. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we give you thanks for your love towards us and everything that you have been, you've blessed us with at this camp. The blessings of fellowship, the fellowship that we have because of you, because of your love first towards us. We ask right now, Lord, that we will not forget all the things that you have spoken through your servant, your word, that we've come to it, and that we will not go like a man who looks at a mirror and then forgets himself after this camp. But Father, we pray, just as we have sung, this is our heart's desire, that you will strike a flame in us, O Lord, for the world, for your heart, for this world, Lord, and that you will open our eyes to see first that we were sinking deep in sin, but then your love came and lifted us. Your love covered a multitude of our sins and lifted us up, and you gave us a multitude of your blessings, Lord. You blessed us to be a blessing to the world as a family, an army, and the refuge of God. Father, I pray that your word would speak right now, that your word would be like an anchor in our hearts, that Christ would be the sure and steady anchor through which we go out, that we go farther for you, Lord, because you went the furthest for you, for the joy set before you, endured the cross and scorned its shame. And now you are seated at the right hand of God, and all authority has been given to you. And it is in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ that we go. And we go, Father, as a family, an army, and a refuge. This is our prayer of our hearts, Lord. May you seal it deep within by your Spirit. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's reading is from 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 11. We don't have a scripture reader, but then as a family, shall we read together these verses from verse 5. Because you have these blessings, do your best to add these things to your lives. To your faith, add goodness, and to your goodness, add knowledge, and to your knowledge, add self-control, and to your self-control, add patience, to your patience at service for God, and to your service for God at kindness for your brothers and sisters in Christ, and to this kindness at love. If all these things are in you and are growing, they will help you to be useful and productive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But anyone who does not have these things cannot see clearly. He is blind and has forgotten that he was made clean from his past sins. My brothers and sisters, try hard to be certain that you really are called and chosen by God. If you do all these things, you will never fall, and you will be given a very great welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So from the start of this year, we've been talking about this theme for our church. You know, in the last 2 years, we've been looking at wanting to be salt and light. And this year, we've been talking about the values that help us to go farther as salt and light for Jesus. The values of being a family, being an army, and being a refuge for God. Now, of course, if all of this sounds a little bit intimidating, don't worry, you know, I understand that going farther can sound very much like running the extra mile, you know, and when it's intimidating to some of us, perhaps that we have never even started jogging or even walking first, and then now to go an extra mile. Or maybe some of us worry about our spiritual stamina, what's left in the tank. And I want to say, this message is entitled Going a Little Bit Further. It's simply about starting where we are and then taking a step further. That's further than where we were before. And that's how you go further. A step ahead from where we are is a step farther. And that's the exhortation of 2 Peter 1 verse 5. So I put up the New Century Version again, a very plain and simple version, you know, so we're at camp and then just hear a little bit of a different perspective. The New Century Version says, puts it this way, do your best to add these things to your lives. And then, of course, the passage goes on to list a couple of the qualities that we want to add to our lives, to add to your faith. And this is the call of every disciple of Jesus Christ, to add to your faith. If faith is the starting point of that race, you know, it's the starting point that I believe in Jesus Christ, right? That's the start. Then the disciple is called to take the next steps from there, from that starting point, and then the next step, and the next step, and the next step, to add these things to your spiritual life, to add these things to your life in Christ, and to supplement your faith, and to go on to the next, the next, the next. So the foundation of that new house has been laid when we believed in Jesus Christ. And then we simply add. We are to add then the things to that foundation of that house, Jesus Christ. We can add the pillars like goodness, like knowledge. And then we also add the walls of self-control, of patience. And then we start to add in the utilities of that house, like service for God. And then we add in, finally, when we have this whole framework with the pillars and the walls and the utilities, then we add in the furnishings, the beautiful furnishings of brotherly kindness to one another in that house. And finally, we open the doors of agape love to all the people and welcome everyone into that house. That's a beautiful picture of a complete spiritual life. And because then this call, you know, it's not then a one and done thing. The building project is not up in an instant. So it's a lifelong call, a lifelong building project. It's not about immediate perfection. It's not about impressive performance, like a showroom that's very nice, but it's not there for long. It's not made for living inside. But it's actually about spiritual progress. That's the important thing. It's about growing bit by bit through all our lives, answering the call, that upward call, that goal of Christ-likeness being formed in us. So it's about our theme this year, going further. It's about starting where we are, wherever that each and every one of us is. Like this morning's devotional passage said, you know, we are all members of the body. We are all parts, each part of the body. Start where we are. And yeah, just being aware of where we are headed to. But don't get paralyzed by this ultimate goal of being like Christ. Start where we are and take the next step. Yes, ultimately, God wants us to reach that goal of being like Him, being perfect. But God doesn't wait for us to be perfect before He can use us. And so, let us just move. Let us just go. Let us just take the next step and go a little bit further. This year, the next, and the next, and the next through all our lives. So let's not get bogged down by these giant leaps and bounds that we may feel that we need to take, or that we may look at others and see them taking. But let us just go. Just go even just a little bit more than yesterday. Just a step forward more than yesterday, one step at a time. And this is the intention that we have as we discuss all these things this year, you know, with all this FAR stuff, you know, We just want to keep, we've set a direction and we just want to keep moving and keep going and keep taking steps in that right direction. So it's not a one-year slogan that, you know, we'll just ride out the rest of this year, you know, it's coming to a close, and then we'll just discard, and then we'll move on to the next thing. No. So 2 Peter doesn't tell us that, you know, do this for a while, then switch to that. But it's about that lifelong call. It says not to do this and switch, but to add, to keep building, keep moving one step at a time, one little shift at a time. And you notice that there's also a progression here in this passage. You know, there's the call of the disciple, the journey of the disciple. There is a progression. So first, there is faith, the starting point. You know, you believe, you are saved, you've entered into this new life. That's the entryway, the starting point. And then the progression. Then there are the individual qualities. Things like moral excellence. Things like knowledge of Christ. Things like self-control. You know, Sister Sue was sharing about how, yeah, she started in that journey and then, you know, the Spirit enabled her and suddenly there was a huge change and still she continues that journey step by step, you know, building up that self-control, adding. There's also patience, you know. And then after that, there's a little bit of overlap with the individual qualities and these outward ones with the service for God. We start to serve God, serve others. And then there's a progression into the outward dimension of that call, the dimension of faith that extends to others in affection, in brotherly kindness for your brothers and sisters within the body of Christ. And then finally, it extends to that agape love to all the people. You know, remember, Pastor Richard said that we want to be welcoming to all, a church with an open door. And this is FAR. To be a disciple, to grow in our faith, it's not just about our individual self and, you know, filling up with things like knowledge, but there is this going a little bit further, you know, extending the love of Christ out to others as well. First, within the body of the church. I remember you were sharing also that, yes, we want to be a refuge, but also a refuge within ourselves as well to extend the healing amongst a body, and then we extend it out to all. So it's also just like a car, you know. When you buy and own a car, the entry, right, you buy, unless you're buying it to put on display like this in this lovely case, you know, this expensive car, a Ferrari, you must add certain things to it to keep that car going, so that it gets you to where you need to go. You add the gas, you add the oil for the engine, and then you need to add the air for the tires. And of course, again, guess what? It's not about perfection. You can have the most expensive and beautiful Ferrari, but if you don't add whatever that is needed, then you're not going to get anywhere. But you can have a little modest second-hand little buggy, like the one that I drove in Australia. This was the car that I drove in Australia, a Ford KA, which everybody says, oh, that's so Leon, like very unique buggy car. Yeah, you can have that little modest car, second-hand, and you just add whatever that the manufacturer of the car says is needed for that car. Just add even a little bit. And if someone is in need, and they need to get to the destination where they're going to, a destination that they cannot miss, like say, you know, they need to catch a flight, cannot miss it. Which of these in that moment will then this person say, thank you, you saved my life. Add to your faith what the manufacturer says is necessary. And of course, what is the destination that we want to reach in our cars? What is the outcome if we keep adding these things to our faith? It's these things. So verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, 11 tell us three outcomes of adding to our faith. The first is that verse 8 says, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. I'm reading from the ESV again. Ineffective or unfruitful. Isn't that the peak of being an army and fulfilling the mission, our commissionality together? It will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the mission. And then verse 9 says, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So, you know, if we keep adding these qualities, it will keep us from forgetting that we are a refuge for God. We will remember the grace and the love that God showed us first in covering our sins, and we extend that grace to others. So it will keep us in that remembrance of what Christ has done. And then verse 10 to 11 says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, that God has chosen you and given you this purpose. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. You will never fall. And in the end, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we will have that final marriage supper together with the Lamb, together with all the family of God. So if you keep adding these qualities, they will make sure that you will never fall, you will never fail in fulfilling that ultimate picture of being the family of God. And so it's FAR right here. And so it's crucial that if you want to grow up to be more like Christ, you want to fulfill being a family, an army, and a refuge. Brothers and sisters, don't fear. Just start wherever that we are and just take a step. Do your best to add just a little bit more daily, add to your faith, and you will not be unfruitful in your Christian life. Yes, maybe we will not be fully perfect still on this side of heaven, but the only failure, the only true failure, I think, is if we stay still and we don't add anything at all, and we stagnate. But if you add just a little, you will not fall. So brothers and sisters, I encourage you, take a step, however small, you know, just a little bit further. See, if this year, even discussing these things, if we just even make a small shift, each one of us, you know, a little shift in mindset, a little shift in a habit, it's something. And then next year, if we add to that, and if everyone in the church, you know, 40 people, make a little shift to the side, we can shift the whole boat. Can you imagine what momentum, what base then there is to add on and to add on and to add on again, and another one makes a shift, and another one, and then another two, and who knows how much further we can go for God. Yes, army, family, refuge, family. Remember a couple of weeks ago, as we were looking in the book of Genesis, there was this story about Lot in Sodom, in Genesis 18. And then Abraham interceded with God for the city of Sodom. Abraham does the work of being salt and light and intercedes to God for the city. Let's just read a little bit. I'm just going to read a short recap on the key points of the story. So verse 17, the Lord said that, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him to be a blessing to the nations. And then verse 23 onwards, then Abraham drew near and he said to God, were you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? And then verse 25, he says, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake or on their account. And then this goes on and on and on, where Abraham says, you know, with God, suppose then if there are less than, if there are five less, if there are 45, suppose there are 40, suppose there are 30 or 20. And then finally Abraham says, suppose there are only 10 found in the city. And then of course the Lord answers in verse 32, that for the sake of 10, then I will not destroy the city. And then after that, it says, then the Lord went on his way. So, why did the Lord stop at 10? Does it mean that the Lord doesn't have compassion if it's less than 10? No, of course, obviously not. You know, we looked at this verse during the camp as well. If this is the Lord who said that even if the 99 sheep are there but one is missing, just one, he would leave the 99, right? And he will go out after the one. So this passage is not about the Lord's compassion, but it's about his calling for us. Could God have saved even the one out of that city? Yes, of course he could. And in fact, in the story, he does. He saved that righteous Lot from the city, that one. But did God want it to come to that? Because you see, brothers and sisters, the conversation here, the heart that God is revealing, is not that about the saving of the one. And the calling to us, the calling to Abraham, is not about the saving of the one. The conversation here was about sparing the whole city. And so first God reveals his heart when he deliberates, shall I tell Abraham what I'm to do? He reveals his heart that there is a corporate calling, not to make Abraham Rambo, you know, this hero that I've chosen that he will save the whole world, but to make him a great and mighty nation. And he says, I have chosen him so that he may train, not to be a superhero, a solo superhero, but to train his children and his household to do the righteousness and justice. And so God's calling, God's heart is a corporate calling for the church. The church of God is his plan. It's not for the pastor to do all the ministry, but God desires the whole church to go, that whole ship, right, that we saw that video, to go. It is not just the job of the evangelism ministry, but the whole church to go. God desires the whole church to go as a family, army, and refuge together to fulfill his purpose. And secondly, the conversation, God shows that he desires the whole city to be spared. The conversation was about preserving the whole city, not simply rescuing a few good men out of the city and then letting the rest of the city die. So, you know, the world's way, the world's thinking is that a few rotten apples spoil the whole bunch, you know, so then just throw away the whole bunch, get rid of all of them. But God's way is that even if there are a few healthy antibodies within, to stop the rot and to turn the whole city back, then that's God's heart. And so I believe that God was hoping for a few good men in the city to preserve the whole city. How? By being salt that preserves. It's interesting that in the Hebrew, that bottom line there, The expression, I will spare the whole place. The word spare there actually means forgive. And some translations will put that footnote there. It's forgive. But we think, how does the Lord forgive a city? How does the Lord forgive a whole city? And Abraham has just asked the question, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? It's not just to forgive unrepentant sinners, guilty sinners. So how does God forgive a whole city? Here's how. That if perhaps there is a righteous remnant, just a few ambassadors of Jesus Christ, to announce to the whole city that forgiveness is now here, and to appeal on behalf of God for the whole city, to tell them, be reconciled to God now. In other words, to be salt and light to the whole city, that some may turn to God, repent from their sins. And that is how God can bring His forgiveness to a city. So, you know, brothers and sisters, it is a good thing. It is a good thing that Lot was saved out from the city. But how much better and how much more the heart of God if a few good ones could have been saved from within the city? And the same for us. Let this be an encouragement for us at Praise. You know, maybe there were some that thought long ago that this place, Praise, was long done. But if just a few of us, a few good salt is present, if a few just make a little shift, if someone just takes a step, and another, then suddenly, how much farther can Praise go for God? Even a little shift, you know, there's this thing that is a just a 1 degree shift on a flight plan can cause a plane to land in an entirely different destination altogether. Because it alters the whole course entirely. Is that correct? Yes, you have the authority here, the expert, the pilot. It may not be immediately, you know, that 1 degree shift, you may not even notice. There have been cases, I think, where the pilot has not noticed that little 1 degree in miscalculation, a shift in their calculations. You may not see it immediately. But if that's the destination that we want to reach, eventually we will get there. And that's better than not getting there at all. So just these little 1 degree shifts. And in years to come then, if everybody makes that little bit of 1 degree shift, if we determine today, this year, we choose now this day, we have heard the word of God, and we choose, yes, Lord, we're going to make this even just a shift further than before. And in years to come, perhaps further down the line, you know, when I myself am gray, my hair is already starting, and I'm retiring, and I hope that I can look back and see how much farther we at Praise have come. That our young adults, our kids here in Praise, have something far better than what we have. They would have gone farther than we have before. And then we can look back and see from this 1 degree shifts that we make today and the next year, and we added and we added and we added, that down the line, that we can see and we can rejoice together that God not only spared the city, but the city prospered, and the next generation went a little bit, even a lot further than the previous generations did before, than our generation did. Amen? So brothers and sisters, you know, you've heard all the sessions that Pastor Richard has taught. You've heard the teachings. Now I appeal to everyone, will you hear now the call of God that God is speaking to each and every disciple of His? And would you now just say, take a moment to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll start where I am and I'll make a shift, even a small shift. I'll take a step. I'll press on towards that upward call together with my brothers and sisters. Even if a little bit today or this year, yes, Lord, I'll do that and then add a little bit and a little bit each day. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for this great privilege, Lord. The privilege, first of all, of your love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, while we were so in our grave condition and not knowing anything, Lord, and we were headed towards a future with no hope, yet you came, somehow you came in your love and you covered over all our sins, Lord, and you showed us your mercy and your grace. And you chose us and you called us and you knit us together as a people here in praise even, Lord. And through the ups and downs, Lord, it is your grace, it is your hand that has preserved us. And you have still called us and you are reaffirming that call to be a church, to go forward and to go just a little bit further with you, Lord. And we have nothing to fear because you are the one that called and you are the one that goes with us, Lord. And so, Father, I pray right now, let faith arise as we hear your word, Lord, the word of Jesus Christ. Let faith arise to take a step of faith, to step out of that boat, that cruise ship where we are, to take a step into the waters with you, Lord, because we know that you are there. And you are the one that is calling us to come towards you as a family together, as an army, and as a refuge, Lord. And then we may take small steps and small shifts, but I pray, Lord, that faith arise and your spirit empower and enable us and embolden us, Lord, to take even a small shift and a small step by faith, knowing that even with the little, it is much when God is in it. And so, Lord, by faith, we step out, not afraid of the storms or the tempests, because we know that Christ is a sure and steady anchor. And so, Lord, this is our prayer today. By faith, Lord, with the whatever little that we have, the mustard seeds, we will take that step. We will give you our seeds. We will do that little shift, Lord. And by faith, for the joy set before us, for that greater future, Lord, that the purpose that you want to do with praise, that it's not done yet. It's not done yet with the next generation, Lord. And we see a lot of potential here. Father, I pray that faith will arise and even greater faith in the next generation, Lord, to take this church, your church, even further than we've ever been before, Lord. And we can do that all because of you. All because of you, Lord. And so, Lord, hear our prayers as we raise them to you by faith and do a work within us. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen.